You're listening to Third Eye Talks, a podcast for the spiritual junkie, with your host, certified life and spiritual coach, Naz Rose. Hello, incredible listeners, and welcome back to Third Eye Talks. I am your host, as always, so happy to join you, Naz Del Rosa from Believe It Life Coaching. And today is going to be a really exciting episode. I was actually really looking forward to this because I've got all the questions and very little time to cover it. So this may turn into a multi-episode conversation. But joining me today to talk about reprogramming the mind using your dreams is Tarak Uday, who is from Awaken Within. So hi, Tarak. How are you?
Hello, hello. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great. Welcome to Third Eye Talks. I'm just going to go ahead and hit you with all the questions today. So I hope that you are ready. So let's start off with a little bit of background. You know, how did you get into what you're doing? What is it that you do? And maybe you can tell the audience a little bit about that.
Man, that could take the whole 30 minutes alone. But since we're talking about dreams, I'll just say, you know, all my life I've had very epic, wild, vivid dreams. I would lucid dream as a child. I wouldn't know what it was. I would create techniques for myself on how to exit out of dreams. I would, you know, wake up from a dream and, you know, everybody has a desire like, man, I don't want to get up because I want to go back into that dream. And over my life, I've heard people talk about, you know, they would just want to go right back into the dream right away. Me, I just always was like, oh, great. This is a good dream. I'm going to start back up tonight. And so, you know, I naturally had these abilities and experiences, but had no understanding and knew of no one with any of that understanding. And so all my life, I always knew there was something to dreams, but never understood, you know, what they really meant. And now understanding the universal language of the mind, which is the language that our minds communicate in, I can know how we can decode our dreams. And this is ancient knowledge, you know, how we can decode ancient holy scriptures and things. So about a decade ago, I had a very transformational experience, healing experience, dying experience, all type of things. Very transformational that really set me on a course and path. And it was right at the beginning of my Saturn return. So I just projected deep dive well into like metaphysics and applying it into my life and never look back.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Amazing. I love to hear the journey that leads, you know, the incredible people that come on here and what it is that they're doing. So it's terrible that it had to happen to you, but it also led you to this place. So, you know,
I'm very grateful.
Yes. Very, very grateful for those experiences. So, okay. Tell us, you spoke about the universal language of the mind. Are dreams the only component of that? Or tell us about what that is. What do you mean when you say the universal
language? Yeah. Well, so our dreams are messages to us from our subconscious mind on how we've been using our mind. Mm-hmm. And so in order to understand how our mind is communicating, we have to understand the language it's communicating in, which mm-hmm. is a language of images, you know, because our mind is made up of our thoughts and we think in images, you know, mm-hmm. like if I asked you and all of the listeners to think of a balloon, just think of a balloon. You could tell me the color that you thought of because your thought is an image. You know, what color did you see?
Red.
Red. Yeah, that's the most typical red. And so our thoughts are images. So in the communication from the dreams, it's a communication of images. So we just have to understand the language of images. And the language has a form and a function, just like, you know, music is made up of rhythms and melodies. Our English language is made up of words and sentences. You know, all languages has a form and function, and that's what universal language of the mind. And understanding that, then you can understand dreams. Like, for example, a vehicle. If you're in a car in a dream, a lot of people have dreams about being in a car at some point where either they're driving or they're not driving or, you know, something else is going on with the car. But a car, you look at the form of the car and the function, The function of a car is to get us to from point A to point B, help us, a tool, a vehicle to help us in reaching our goals and destination. Well, then you just relate, how does that relate to the physical self, to the consciousness? And our physical body is the vehicle that we use, that our consciousness uses to reach our goals in life. You know, the road is the path that we use to make, to reach that destination. So the road in a dream will represent your life path. You know, if you dream about being at an intersection, you know, there's choices on which direction you want to go. You know, then that's going to represent the choices that you have in your waking life. And so the language is very easy to understand because it's so inherent in our subconscious mind. And it's also in our language, you know, with different idioms that we use. And I mean, you can use this language, like it's your question. It's far more than just dreams. You can use it to break down holy scriptures, movies, even. And so it's really, really vital, I think, because of how, because since you're able to decode this message daily and nightly from your inner self, your inner subconscious mind, you're able to extract the most pertinent message and lesson that you are on right now in your life, you know, more pertinent than if I was to go get a reading from someone, or if I was to, you know, go read a book that's going to help me in some way. This is a like detailed for me right now at the present moment where I am in my own spiritual evolution, what I need to learn right now. And so, or what I've been doing great, you know, because sometimes you have dreams that are reflecting what you've been doing well so that you can reassess how you did that to be able to recreate it in the future.
That's so powerful. So what happens when we have these dreams that are really scary for us? What is that meant to show us in our waking life? What is that telling us about what's happening in there?
So your dreams are a reflection of how you're using your mind throughout the day. And so nightmares are just a matter of non-learning. You're not learning. You're, you know, typically most nightmares, you're running from something. And so most dreams, you're either doing one of two things. You're running towards something or you're running away from something. And that's going to reflect in your life if you are actively working towards growing in some type of way, or you're very stagnant and wanting to not face something within yourself. Because everything in your dream is an aspect of yourself. So this is why your dreams are about you, the person dreaming. They're not about, you know, if I have a dream about my cousin Larry throwing rocks at my face, you know what I mean? It doesn't have anything to do with, you know, my cousin Larry. It has to do with me. You know, Larry is an aspect of myself. And so I don't need to just stay away from cousin Larry, you know, for the next couple of weeks. And so if we're running away from something, then there's something that we are not wanting to face within ourselves. And if it's something we can't identify or a stranger, then it's also a deeper layer of, it's hard for me to even identify myself as being this way. Like me, I used to be very like aggressive and confrontational and things. And I would have, you know, nightmares all the time. And, but it's because I would always blame like the situation or circumstance or the other person that made me do these things or be this way. I would never take self-responsibility in, you know, yes, I'm always like a happy, cheery, fun, loving guy, but there are times where I am like very confrontational and stubborn and hard-headed and aggressive, you know? And so once I did address that and become more self-responsible in identifying that, then it was a lot easier to transform it and completely eliminate it from our personality.
So it's when you say that our dreams are always about us and not about other people, if we dream about someone, and I hear this in my business all the time, coaching people, if we are dreaming about someone, you know, doing something to us in our dream, betraying us or, you know, doing something against us, what you're saying is that those dreams are not really reflective of what that person is trying to say, or is our subconscious mind picking something up about our relationship between us and that person? How do you interpret other people in your dreams?
Yeah. So, you know, there is always an element that it could be a precognitive dream, but the majority of the time when you're having this experience with other people that you're working with, or you hear it, or for anyone listening, the vast majority of the time that you're having this dream has nothing to do with the other person. Now, that doesn't mean that in your outer reality, this thing may not be going on as well. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, your dreams are a reflection of your waking life. You know, your thoughts create your reality. And so as you go into your dreams and assess and experience what's going on in your inner world, you know, then you're going to be able to perceive the thoughts that are creating your outer world. So if this is going on internally in your inner environment, then it could very well be happening in your outer environment because it's manifested into the experience that you've wanted to have. So that is a possibility. Mm-hmm. However, even if it is a precognitive dream, even if it is a visitation dream where a loved one came and visited you, you know, so that person isn't necessarily you, but you can still interpret those in the same exact way and derive a message from it. So, for example, one very common dream in the scenario that you're painting is being cheated on in a dream. Mm-hmm. You know, lots of people have a dream where, you know, they wake up in the middle. You know, almost everybody listening has probably had an experience where they woke up in the middle of the night pissed off at the other person that's just sitting there sound asleep. Or you have the experience of being sound asleep and mm-hmm. being woken up to a pillow knocked upside your head because of something that was going on in their mind.
right.
But dreams feel very real. Some dreams feel more real than real life. So it's very hard to separate the two, even someone like me who knows that there's a difference. You know, as soon as you wake up from the dream, it's very hard to separate the two sometimes.
Yeah.
And so the thing to understand is one, understand the universal language of the mind. What does sex even represent? So to your very first initial actual question, what do people mean in a dream? You know, people, you look at the form and the function in the universal language of the mind. People are the form, and the function of people in our life is to give us an example of how we can be. You know, all these different people in our life are just examples of different ways we can be. I can be like Jay-Z. I can be like Donald Trump. I can be like, you know, dude from 40-year-old virgin or The Office. You know, I can be like him. We can all be in all types of ways. Mm-hmm. You know, my introvert cousin, I can be like him. My charismatic brother, I can be like him. You know what I mean? My cool, smooth best friend, I can be like him. You know what I mean? My vindictive person that I knew in the past, I could be like them.
Yeah.
You know, we all can be loving, caring, angry, hostile. We all can portray these different personalities, you know, these different characteristics within our personality. And that's what people will represent. The different people that show up in your dream will represent all of the different possible characteristics for you. But let's say I'm not a very responsible person and I want to become responsible. Well, I first have to create that within myself, right? And the first thing I have to do is create the idea of being responsible. Like, you know what? I could be responsible. Creating that idea is just like, you know, when the man's seed implants into the womb of the woman, and then the seed gestates and grows until it's ready to give birth and become a reality in this physical reality. Same thing with your mind. Once you plant that seed thought into the womb of the subconscious mind, where it will gestate, and, you know, I assess what my life might look like if I was more responsible, what kind of things I might experience if I was more responsible, what kind of effects that may have for me in my environment if I was more responsible, until finally I start seeing physical evidence of me being more responsible. Now it's being birthed, but now it's just a little baby. You know, I got to take care of it and nurture it. I'm really new at being responsible. If I slip up, I can go right back into being irresponsible again, because all of us have had habits we've started to build and then faded away quickly. We had a little success and we faded away. That baby died. Mm-hmm. You know, so we gotta continue to nurture it really closely until it gets its own legs, until it's fully developed. And here it is 2 years later, I'm a very responsible person. You know, people who knew me before wouldn't even recognize me how responsible I've become. I built that person within me. So if you're having a dream where someone is having your significant other is having sex with someone else and you walked in on them, that's just a reflection of you are becoming aware that this whole time I've been creating my own reality, and I've only just now becoming aware that this creation has been going on behind my back. You know what I mean? So all of us, like, have you ever heard that, you know, your thoughts create your reality? We all manifest our own. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so there was probably a moment in time from some point from when you were first born until now where you are started to have not just hearing those words, but having a true realization of what that meant for yourself. Mm-hmm. And so, I am responsible for this happening. I am the creator of this. oh, I achieved this goal. I can see every step of the way of how I manifested this for myself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I lost my job, but I can kind of start to see how I have created this for myself. You know what I mean? I was complaining about the job. I was complaining about working here. I didn't like the job. I never took any action on finding a new job. So the universe pushed me in the direction I was wanting to go anyways, and unconsciously that I was creating something I was unconsciously creating. And so it was like an aha moment, like, oh, I am creating my own reality. I've opened the door, and this creation has been going on behind my back the whole time. Mm-hmm. And so that's what a dream like that would represent. You know, regardless of if it's happening in real life or not, that is what is going on either way.
That's so interesting. I think another common dream that is really symbolic for us is anything having to do with water, right? Water, I think, is so representative of our emotions. And anytime that I hear people, they're like, you know, I was in this beautiful clear ocean, or I was, you know, like oncoming tsunami and I was about to die. To me, that's very representative of what you're saying. Like, this is showing you what is happening in that awakened mind, and you really have to pay attention to that, right? Because it's telling you how you're feeling deep down inside, and what you're creating around you. So are there any others that you usually hear about, and how do you interpret those, or how do you help people to look at that interpretation and turn it into something positive in their waking
life? Yeah. So no matter whether it's a positive dream or a negative dream, or the message is negative, like, man, you F it up. You need to fix this, you know, regardless of how it's perceived, the best approach and how you can make it a positive thing, and what you should do every time, is apply the message into your life. You know, starting from once you have the decoded message, then apply it into your life. Otherwise, it's no good. You know, if I'm at a meeting downtown and somebody runs into the building, into the room, saying the building's on fire, they're giving us a message, the building's on fire, and we just sit here like, okay, thank you, and just stay sitting there, then the person might as well just ran past our door and alerted somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, we have to heed that message and apply it into our life. But one of the most common dreams that we haven't touched on, because nightmares is probably the most common, one of the most common is teeth falling out. Teeth falling out dreams is very common. And in a lot of cultures, there's, you know, a belief on what it means. But teeth falling out, the form of teeth is the form, and the function of teeth in the universal language of the mind, how we get through is there's the form and function. The function of teeth are to break down our food so that we can better digest it. Well, food, when we digest it, our body absorbs the nutrients, right? This is nothing new to anybody. But when we absorb the nutrients, we can then excrete the waste, the parts of the food that have no use for us.
Yeah.
And so food in a dream will represent the knowledge from that we have the opportunity to understand, the understandings that we have the opportunity to learn from the life experiences that we have. And so teeth will represent our ability, our mental tools that we have to break down our life experiences so that we can better digest what's happened, so we can better swallow that this actually happened. And once we do that, once we get really good at breaking down the life experience, then it's easier to identify and extract the actual nutrients. I mean, what's of value? Oh, you know what? Me and my wife got into a big argument, and now we're not talking for the whole rest of the day. But if I break down the experience, I can realize, you know, I was so focused on being heard that I never listened to what her problem was. And so I need to get better at communicating. Okay, so moving forward, I start to apply that message into my life. I get better at communicating. And then now, here it is, weeks later, and we're both much better communicators. And that wouldn't have happened if we didn't have that big argument. So now I'm grateful for that argument because I've become better through it. I'm a better person because of it. Our relationship is better because of it. I wouldn't trade that argument in for anything. You know, and so that's the value. Now I've extracted the nutrients. And once I do that, then it's so much easier to let go of the waste. The argument itself, I can let that go.
Yeah.
If I had not done that and held on to that waste, it would have become toxic. You know what I mean? Just like if we'd never, you know, take a number two, it's going to become toxic in our system. You know, and so if I continue to hold on to that argument, oh man, she don't be listening to me, man. She always just, well, you're never, I got issues too. I got problems too. She don't listen to them. You know, then it's just going to fester and build. And now we're falling further and further apart instead of coming closer and closer together. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's, so tea in specifically, so that's like the whole process of like food in a dream and all of those functions. So if you have a dream about a bathroom, you know, that's about letting something go. Mm-hmm. If you have a dream about something with the belly or stomach, you know, it's about digesting and learning, really extracting the nutrients from life and the life lessons. But teeth specifically, teeth falling out, you know, when what happens, when do teeth fall out for people in waking life?
Older, when you're old.
Some people, but
or when you don't take care, or when you don't take care of them, right?
yeah. But every single person has had a moment where all of their teeth fell out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when they're a kid, right?
Oh, yeah.
Your baby teeth fall out, right? Exactly. And so those teeth fall out, but then what happens? Those teeth fall out so that new teeth can grow in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a dream like this is calling for you to upgrade the way, the tools that you use, the mental tools that you use to break down your life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Get better at really breaking down what happened. Don't be so attached. You know, don't react to things, but take a moment to respond to things, to really assess and respond to things. Because that's what responsibility is all about. Your ability to respond instead of react. And so, you know, if this could be reflection, for me, teeth dreams are almost always talking about dream interpretation, just because that's my biggest tool for breaking down my life experiences.
Yeah.
But however you do it, you know, maybe it's journaling, maybe a stream of consciousness writing where you get a journal and just write and write and write until you can't write anything anymore. I mean, that's going to really unload a lot and clear out the conscious mind. That's also a really good thing to do right before you go to sleep, because it'll empty out the conscious mind and then it'll make more space for the message from the subconscious mind to come through.
For new downloads. Yeah. What about animals? Because I feel like animals, for me personally, animals, like if I'm dreaming about an alligator, which I do often, I know that that's symbolic for me, and I've broken down the meaning of that a little bit. It's like a fear, you know, I'm working with a fear in my waking life, and I really have to overcome, you know, whatever that is. And I do journal it out and eventually figure it out. But for the people listening, what does it mean when we have one of those big, scary animals that scare us, whether that be an anaconda or an alligator or something like that? What is that?
Well, we look at the form and function, and animals are habitual creatures. Now, we're habitual creatures also, but we have the spoken word, so we can invoke things in manifesting, and we also have imagination. Animals don't have imagination to be able to create something new. So we can, even though we're habitual, we can create a way, a path to move out of that habitual pattern and create something new for ourselves. But animals will represent that habitual nature, the habitual use of our mind. So for example, you're saying you've already identified it and narrowed it down to a fear. So there's a habit for you when this type of experience happens, or when this type of situation presents itself, you go into a way of thinking that's more fearful or more negative.
Mm-hmm.
And so all animals will represent some sort of habit. You want to look at, you know, what's the main quality you see in that animal that'll help you narrow it down. But a good thing to really look at is like there's more like animal, like one, there's like spiders and bugs and things, very small habits, you know, like if someone sneezes and I have a habit of saying, oh, bless you, you know, or, you know, there's other, you know, regular habits like dogs or cats and things, like dogs, most people think of them as loyal. So that may be reflecting to you how you're just habitually a loyal person. You don't have to think and choose to be loyal to this person. It's just natural. It's habitual for you. You're so much that way. It's habitual. And but predators and large animals that are like can really hurt you. You know, death represents
gators.
Yeah, 600-pound gators. You know, they're very powerful, so they have the ability to kill you. You know, and so death represents transformation. So they have the ability to change you. So these are so powerful of a habit. You know, this negative thinking, this self-sabotaging tendencies of when a problem arises, I just go into thinking of all the ways that it can't, you know, it will negatively affect me. Mm-hmm. When even when I have a dream, an idea or a goal, I immediately just go into, well, these are all the ways that it can't happen. Yeah. You know, if a problem where I make a mistake, I immediately go into beating myself up. Oh, I'm so dumb. Oh my God, I do this every time. Nothing mm-hmm. ever works out for me. I always find a way to F it up, you mm-hmm. know? And this mm-hmm. this thought is, you don't make the mistake and be like, I think I'm going to choose to tear myself down.
Yeah.
You know? No, it's habitual. You know what I mean? You just fall into this pattern.
Yeah.
So a dream with a powerful animal like this, it's one calling for you to identify that self-sabotaging habitual way of thinking, mm-hmm. but it's also calling for you to be more conscious. And so if it's something like where you have a habit of like, or a tendency of like not believing in yourself or, you know, not seeing your own value, what I would talk about, which like what you were wanting to share kind of takes us into there about using your dreams to reprogram your mind. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to understand that the mind is meant to be programmed. And the thoughts within the subconscious mind are going to manifest. Every thought seeks to manifest, but which thoughts do manifest? Well, the ones with the most quantity and the ones with the most quality. So the thoughts that we think the most and the thoughts that have the strongest image in our mind. So a habitual thought, it's a path that's already well carved out. So what we need to do then is strengthen the quality and strengthen the quantity. So you ever worked with affirmations?
Of course, always.
Yeah. And so you probably will see the level of success with your affirmations mm-hmm. is directly correlated to how often you say them and yeah. how strong of an image within your mind that you have when you speak them out. And not just like seeing it with your mind, but fully immerse yourself into the image. See it, feel it, taste it, touch it. You know what I mean? Really be there and make it a moving image. But I always suggest for people to turn their affirmations into mantras. So say it no less than 1,000 times a day. So if I'm not believing in myself, or I don't see my own value, or I tear myself down, you can come up with any type of affirmation. You know what I mean? I am worthy. I am valuable. I deserve everything I desire. I'm worthy. I'm valuable. I deserve everything I desire. I'm worthy. I'm valuable. I deserve everything I desire. Mm-hmm. I'm worthy. I'm valuable. I deserve everything I desire. And then and when you come across the moment where you are, you know, not believing in yourself, then it's like, oh, wait, hold on. I'm worthy, I'm valuable, I deserve everything I desire. I'm worthy, I'm valuable, I deserve everything I desire. I'm worthy, I'm valuable, I deserve everything I desire. You know what I mean? Fear is playing the what if game the wrong way. Mm-hmm. It's well, what if this happens? But instead you should be, well, what if this happens? Mm-hmm. What if it plays out exactly how I wanted to?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I dream that it will. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Because energy flows where the attention goes. That ain't mm-hmm. nothing new to any of us.
Yeah.
But when we really assess what that truly means, the thoughts that we put into our mind, the more attention that we give them, then the more energy we're feeding into that reality being what this present moment evolves into. Mm-hmm. And we draw it closer to us. Mm-hmm. And then our present reality slowly evolves more and more into that reality that we're feeding more energy into. So once you become aware of it, it's like, whoa, stop. I'm chopping that gator's head off and I'm turning it into some gator boots. and we're going to walk off into some prosperity and abundance. We're going to walk mm-hmm. off into what I want to create for myself, who I want to evolve into. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's funny you're using, once I started using, I am worthy is one of my favorite affirmations.
Yeah.
And once I started, I've been dreaming about gators forever. Once I started using I am worthy, what started happening in my dreams was that I started fighting the alligator instead of running away from it, right? Like at one point, it tried to bite my hand and I punched it back and free myself. So you're absolutely right. Your dreams are showing you those very deep-seated programs that you have that are pretty much manifesting in your waking life. But you can take those and by reprogramming, because you're right, the brain wants you to have a program in place and you can make that program whatever you want, right? It doesn't have to be the program that's been running or that you were taught or that you've had so far. You can flip that. And there are, there are a million ways to do that. But your dreams give you that information, which I think is so beautiful. We have this tool that every night we lay our heads down can tell us this is what you're thinking. This is what you're feeling. This is the direction in which you need to move because this thing is affecting you and it's going against what you want to create, right? Mm-hmm. I think that mm-hmm. shows up as well. So exactly. If having these dreams, I know you've already touched on it, but if we are having more dreams than usual, the way to start to do that is, like you said, affirmations, breaking them down into what they symbolize in your waking life. Is there anything else there that we need to, are there any other ways in which we can work that through and kind of reprogram that subconscious mind?
Write down your dreams all the time, you know, document that. And then, you know, definitely. So, but as far as like what you're saying in reprogramming the mind is meant to be programmed. You know, and so if you're not programming it, someone else is. So it's very important to the first step to any of that. I give the affirmation and turning an affirmation into a mantra, because that's something that someone can use very quickly. I'm to the point. There's lots of different things that we can do, from that very beginner level thing all the way to being a lucid dreamer, going into your dreams. And when you see that alligator, doing something about it. When you see a thought form that correlates with what a goal you're trying to manifest, furthering it along so that it manifests right away. But visualization is very key to mm-hmm. that, because your thoughts are images. And so your visualization is your ability to control your imagination. And your imagination is your image generator. And so visualization is very key, practicing visualization. But to be good at visualization, you have to be good at concentration and willpower. So that's usually where I start people off with, is concentration and willpower. It's not anything fancy. It's not anything sexy. It's not anything fun. So a lot of people don't talk about it. You don't really hear no other spiritual person really harping on concentration. Right. I harp on it way too much. And a lot of people are like, man, you keep talking about concentration. I don't want to concentrate. Okay, don't. Then, you know, you're not going to get, concentration is going to be very key to any spiritual endeavor you want to do. Energy healing, being a better empath, being telepathic, you're opening up your chakras, your brow chakra, being more mental perceptive, lucid dreaming, astral projection, awareness, self-awareness, awareness of your thoughts, being aware of how your mind is programmed to know what programs you need to change, you know, any single thing you want to do, breathing. All of it requires your attention, your concentration, even just spirituality, anything, marketing. Number one thing that they know, you have to gather someone's attention. Attention is your greatest commodity. And if you don't have control over your attention, someone else does. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you need to master yourself, or else you'll always be a slave to your mind. So I say that all the time. And so that's what I would suggest first, is to cultivate a concentration practice daily, even just 5 minutes a day, some type of concentration practice. And document it every single day and conduct your own research and use that to start to become more aware of the thoughts in your mind, of the beliefs that you have, of, the attitudes that you exist, move in and out of throughout the day, the emotions that those thoughts generate for you, you know, and then you'll become more aware of how your mind's programmed, and you'll be in a better position of what to change, and you'll have a better understanding of how to change it.
I love that. Love that. Great suggestions, Tarok. I appreciate it. So tell me a little bit about tell our listeners where we can find you, what you have going on, and pretty much how we can get in touch with you.
You can find me on, you know, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all of those. You can find at my website, awakenwithin.us, awakenwithin.us. Almost all of them are either Tarok Uday or Tarok Uday 333. There's a lot of different content on there, videos. Almost all of it is either like information like we've been talking, or different ways that you can apply these things into your life. Universal laws and all type of stuff, you know, lucid dreaming, astral projection, how to become a master empath. I have a metaphysical mastery community where there's a ton of free resources on there. The community's free. There's a ton of free resources on there. There's a third eye opening technique. There's a improving your memory technique in there. There's tons of stuff.
And we can get inside that free community. It's at awakenwithin.us.
.us. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Great. Mm-hmm.
You can go there and get that. The Dream Symbol Glossary is one of the resources in there also. So you can use that. I'm turning that into a dreamer's dictionary. So when you go into the community and get it, the resource from there, there's like maybe out of the 400 symbols that the glossary has, there's about maybe like 50 or so that have like a full on description, mm-hmm. like really broken down. And so I still have, you know, like 350 to go, but that's something in the works. But yeah. Oh. So that's where you can find me.
Love that. Tarak, I appreciated your time today. This was very insightful. I think my listeners are going to absolutely love this because, you know, dreams, we almost all of us dream, and we're always waking up from those dreams going, what the heck was that about? And now we know it's definitely about something, and it's definitely all from within, and we can use that as another tool in our spiritual journey. So I'm really looking forward to you, dear listeners, connecting with Tarak, going to awakenwithin.us and connecting with his community and starting to use your dreams as a tool to really navigate your spiritual path and see what are some of the programs that you have there in your subconscious mind and use it to reprogram. The more you reprogram, and the more you awaken and the more empowered you become, the more you help the collective, not just yourself, but everyone around you. So
absolutely.
I appreciate your time today. And I think we're going to have to come back. I mean, we'll talk about a second episode, but you have so much knowledge, and I can't wait to have you back on the show. Thank you for being here today. Appreciate it. And to my
It's been an honor.
Yes. Thank you. And to my dear listeners, I will see you next time on Third Eye Talks. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Third Eye Talks, a podcast for the spiritual junkie, brought to you by Believe It Life Coaching. Follow us on Instagram at Believe It Coach or visit our website for more information, believeitlifecoaching.com.